I don't see what's so funny. Why are you facepalming?
You should probably hit the correct scene in OBS, so then, you know, the show would start.
It went exactly as I wanted it to. The little black fade and staying there, that's called building suspense.
No, I was just laughing at your pre-game.
That's just for us. That's for nobody else.
Like, I was just laughing because I could see you actually doing it. Like, me and Nick are just sitting here and all of a
sudden.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode...
11.
Are we at?
Oh, 11, geez. Wow.
Phil's back.
I'm back.
Anyway, welcome to the RTFM show. This is how we like to finish our week. We cap it off with usually a cold one of some sort. I'm still enjoying the Suntory whiskey from Toki. It's a Japanese whiskey.
I mean, it's a good choice.
The Toki from Suntory whiskey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you just said...
You did it the other way around.
I was just like, welcome to Microsoft from Windows.
You basically said Elijah by Craig.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, it works.
You're going to be partaking in this one with me?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. I only want to pour a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. Two shots of vodka.
Yeah, the next scene, like, falling down the stairs.
Those are American shots.
Have I shown you that meme yet?
You'll show me later after the show. Anyway, if you guys are going to be joining us with a drink, put in the comments below what you guys are actually drinking. But Phil is back. He wasn't anywhere important. He just didn't want to be with us last week. That's all. So Austin took over.
Completely understandable.
No, it went well. But of course, I think people missed your laugh more than anything. Even the people that hate you are probably like, I missed that little guy.
Yeah, right.
So if you guys don't know, Phil was in Hawaii.
Not for a vacation, unfortunately.
But he was still in Hawaii.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's basically like you kind of have to try to make a vacation out of something. It was a family matter that, I guess I could just open up a little bit. Like, it was...
That's up to you. You don't have to.
Yeah. But, yeah, we had somebody in the family pass away, and so that was the reason that I was out there for the funeral. And so, kind of a crappy reason, but, you know, you try to at least get... a day or two of vacation and relax.
Silver lining, you got to hang out with your mom who you haven't seen in years.
Yeah, I haven't seen my mom since 2019 because the pandemic hit right before we were making plans to see each other again. And so, and she lives out in Vegas. So, yeah, it was pretty weird and also funny that like the first time I'd seen my mom in a few years was not at either of our places or towns.
No, but I do like the kickoff picture you sent me where your mom was holding two drinks and I thought they were yours and hers and were just hers.
No, they were hers. They were definitely hers. Yeah, my mom was really craving Mai Tais. Literally we got off the plane and then my aunt took us to this really nice bar out there. I sent Jay a picture. I was like, hey, my mom's getting the week started. You guys know how it is with family. You know, sometimes you got to just already start drinking before the crap show.
I'll say this. Considering the fact that I'm not born but raised in the desert.
Yeah.
I'm not used to those Disney sounds, animal sounds. It sounds like you were the animal kingdom.
I sent you a video from 5 a.m. because the freaking... So the roosters start crowing at like...
Here, you tell the story. I'll load it up.
Yeah.
And we'll just...
Yeah, the roosters start crowing at like 3:30, which I don't know why. Like apparently... I was like, hey, the sun's not even up. Shut up. I was getting up around 4 every day just because I was still stuck on California time. But yeah, it was hilarious because at 5 o'clock in the morning, I send Jay a video and it basically sounds like if you've ever been to Rainforest Cafe or like any nature documentary... It sounds exactly like that.
It's funny. I wanted to use the Bluetooth Connect thing.
Oh.
And it's like not showing up right now. You stupid.
Blast the speaker.
I'm going to. It would have been nice, crisp sound, you know? Yeah. So basically, he sent me this. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Apparently, 5:30 a.m. is every bird's alarm clock.
So, like, 3:30 to 5:30 is just the rooster. And then literally from 5 to 5:30, all the birds just start going off. That's why I sent the video to Jay, because I was just like, dude, like... I feel like I'm like some Disney princess surrounded by animals or something. It was insane.
It's like you needed that morning mood.
Yeah. La, 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 I mean, it's la, nice, la, la, you know. La, la, la. Like, obviously. If you have nothing else to do but chill poolside with, you know, a glass of wine or something, yeah, I mean, come on, it's nice, of course, but...
Steve K in chat says Nick's already drowsy. No, this is just Nick.
This is just Nick, yeah.
That's Nick alert. That's like 105%
alert. That's a new, instead of life alert, Nick alert.
the paramedic shows up and they're just like, can I help you?
No, you fall down. What happened? I fell down. Oh.
Looks like it hurts. I can't even do Nick because I'm already laughing.
You want me to call help or something? Like, just
okay. Here we go. My impression of Nick excited. Oh. My impression of Nick disappointed. Oh. My impression of Nick not sure. Oh. It's all the same syllable. It just depends on how you bend it.
Yeah, but you can't bend it too much. It's like a half a tone. You can't do a full tone, otherwise it's too excited.
No,
too much umlauts.
He's like the polar. You know, like if you had a voice excitedness spectrum, it would be like Linus, and then me ish. And then Nick.
Yes.
I don't know where Steve and Nick would be. Like, I don't know in which order they would be, though.
They're both about as energetic as each other. Seriously.
Steve doesn't get hyped about Gundam 3080s, though.
Yeah. Well, Steve really doesn't change his inflection at all for anything.
Steve is Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah. That is literally the funniest thing I have ever seen.
The best part was I'm having such a great time.
I remember meeting him at
stop
at
me.
CES.
I am having too much fun.
I remember meeting him at CES one time, and I was like, wow, he really, like we always make the joke that, like, you know, the best kinds of people on YouTube are really the same people offline and online. But, like, he even talks exactly the same. And I was just like, it felt weird because it just felt like hearing the clearest
what I love is Steve's video. I hate Steve all the time, but, I mean, we are friends. And I love his, like, we'll see him in person at an event. And he's like, hey, Jay. No, it's like, how's it going? You know.
Living the dream.
I mean, you know, being tech Jesus is a lot of responsibility. I'd be tired all the time, too.
Yeah, well, I'm Judas. Let's go ahead and get things kicked off here. Nick, why don't you go ahead and carry it away?
Well, our topic this week's about, I was talking about how old games are getting phased out physically. Well, not physically, but physically in the internet space.
That's not physical.
That's literally not physical.
Okay, well, basically,
Phil.
The end of life of games when they pull them off the storefront, and then they also kill the servers.
Okay, so, is there something, like, in particular, like a specific game you're thinking of right now?
Well, it was a couple games from Need for Speed series that happened to go offline recently.
Sorry to cut you off. I thought of Driver San Francisco. Because remember what? Yeah. I watched you playing it, and I was like, oh, that looks dope. Like, it's probably like $10 now. You know, it's probably on sale.
But I can still play it because I own it. He's talking about, like, when the servers shut down.
Oh.
So, yeah. Like, if it's like an online-only thing, then you're kind of screwed. You have a game that you can't play with anymore compared to, what, 2000-ish, where you
can... I think I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on that.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, especially since I worked in software development, you don't own the game.
Okay.
You own the license to play that game, as long as it's around.
Same with CDs.
Yes, you don't own the music, just because you have the CD, but you don't own that game. People like to say, I bought that game, I own that game. No, you don't. You own the license to play the game. As long as it exists. And there's always clauses in that EULA, which everyone clicks, like, okay, accept, install.
Yeah.
It always says in there that it can end of life. The servers can shut down. And I feel like it's a bean counter thing. It depends on how much money they're spending to keep the servers alive on a game no one's playing or buying anymore. If that goes upside down and it stays there, they're gonna end of life the title or whatever. But I think it depends, though, on the game and the service, right? Because Steam is pretty good about, if you own it, it stays in your library.
Yeah.
For instance, I have one of my favorite games I used to play way, way back in the day was called The Movies. The Movies was basically built on a very similar engine to the original Sims. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's like, think of Sims Movies. You're building a studio lot. You have to hire actors. You have to hire production crew. You have to hire
production.
But you
studio.
Start way back in, like, the early 1900s, like the silent film era.
Okay.
And you have to build the studio up, and you literally make the movie. And when you go in and make the movie, you actually choose the scenes. You choose, like, the facial expressions and animations and stuff. And yeah, and so you build up your studio, or it can fail, and, you know, all that. You have to lay off people or hire people, production managers. You have to hire writers and have a writer's den. And it really does work like the real movie industry. But they stopped selling that game, like, early 2000s probably. And I can still download and play it because Steam still hosts it. So it's one of those things where, like, I don't know how it's still being hosted. I haven't sold it in forever, but it's such probably such a small. It's like a 900 megabyte download, so it can't be a big host.
You can archive the installer too through Steam if you really wanted to make sure that you always had a copy.
Right.
And so this is a game that does not require or rely on a server. So
it just hosts it to download, but it's all locally played.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think I have a problem with the behavior that Nick was describing when it's a single player game that requires an online connection for some
That's part of the DRM.
Yeah, exactly. And like that's dumb because it's like, you know, say Modern Warfare or something, right? Like you don't even care about any of the multiplayer, you don't care about Warzone, you just want to play through the campaign. And then it's like, but you have to sign on at least like once every like 14 days or something to like sign in with the authentication server. And it's like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm literally playing a single player game. Like it doesn't need the internet, but it's such a trend nowadays where, you know, stuff like that, where the only reason it connects to a server is to authenticate some BS or to refresh your stupid DLC menu thing, like to get you to buy stuff. And
isn't Need for Speed one of those titles that's changed studios a bunch?
They've bounced through like a handful.
Criterion
has it right now, right?
Because they were originally Burnout. But,
is it kind of like the whole Infinity Ward versus Treyarch thing?
No. Basically, they just moved the Need for Speed team to Criterion after, I think it was like one of the more recent games, and then they've been handling it since.
I think it's Ghost Games right now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Which might be just like ex-Criterion people, you know?
Probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're doing a decent job right now, but...
I guess, like I said, my unpopular opinion is that they can do that.
Yeah.
You know,
Need for Speed's actually... Sorry to cut you off. Need for Speed's actually a really good example because that is a fully single-player game, but you do need to log into EA servers.
Yeah.
And
it's
like, because they have to, like, it's technically like an online shared Destiny style, like people can pop
for
into
leaderboards
your
and
like Battlefield 2. Yeah. You can't go play Battlefield 2 anymore, right? Aren't all those servers gone?
No, I'm sure you could.
I think you could. I'm pretty sure you still could,
because some people took, like, the Game Spy servers or whatever. Some people migrated those to their own personal thing.
Yeah.
Or you could even host your own server.
Okay, really. but the official supported Battlefield 2 stuff is gone, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Right. So,
you can still fire up bots in Battlefield 2, which is still technically...
I miss the bots.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it technically... You can still play the game without... It doesn't need to connect to a server for any other reason
besides... Were the bots controlled on the server side? I thought they were client side.
No, they are client side, I think. I'm just saying, the game doesn't need to connect to any server besides multiplayer.
Right.
Like, it's not connecting for some arbitrary, you know, EA freaking Game Pass reason.
I can't say I fault the developers for protecting the IP by wanting it to connect to a server and authenticate and all that sort of stuff and not give people it's like, I feel like if you're going to end of life it, maybe give a studio or someone the opportunity to buy the licensing and keep it alive. But
do what Doom Software, id Software does. They open source the engine once they end of life a product.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, here, you can do whatever the heck we want with it because we're not selling it anymore.
Right. There's nothing to protect at that point.
And so there's like, I think the same thing happened with Descent, like, you know, my favorite like old school game. And like, there's, you know, modern Descent servers.
It's funny watching you play that because you still pop in there. It's funny because it was the Quake RTX that made you want to go in there and like
because I saw you
Descent.
Playing your retro. Yeah, because Quake 2 is super retro too. I think it was around the same era or something. Yeah, a little bit after.
So,
But yeah, like there's modern versions. There's ports of Descent that run on Vulkan because all the source code is open source. So it's like, I think that's what every dev should do with a game if they're going to freaking end of life it and take down the servers, is at least make the servers open source so somebody can run a server to keep game
keep
alive.
Yeah.
Because it's such a shame when, you know, you have this... Imagine if movies, when they stopped showing in theaters, just got deleted. They just burned all the film. Like, it's like, why? Why would you do that?
Some movies are understandable, though. Like, just burn and let it go.
True. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's like, it's such a pointless thing for DRM or whatever when it's going to get cracked anyway in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, like, EA is even getting less strict about their DRM. Like, they'll have Denuvo on a new release only to prevent piracy. They only really care about that first kind of, like, 3 weeks because that's where all the sales are made, right?
Yeah.
And so afterwards, they'll pull Denuvo off because they know Denuvo freaking slows down performance in video games so much. And so, yeah, like you'll get a patch, like, a few months down the line that just says removes Denuvo DRM. And it's like, because... it's served its purpose. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone else that's going to get the game after that initial rush is probably going to pirate it anyway if they don't want to spend the $60 on it. So it doesn't really make any sense. But yeah, I think server-based single-player games are dumb.
I think the biggest thing is like the amount of people listening right now that feel like they own the game. I just wanted to at least set that record straight. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
So I get the people being upset.
Yeah.
Over like, I bought this. Mm-hmm. No, you didn't. You licensed it. That's the way. That's and if anyone ever actually read the EULAs, they would understand that. That stands for end user license agreement, right?
Yep.
But and it's always in there and it's always clear. It's just you scroll through the 32 pages and don't read it.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, it just makes sense if let's say like World of Warcraft. It probably won't happen anytime soon. But if World of Warcraft suddenly they have massive debt, not debt, but revolving costs in their servers alone.
Right.
To be able to host the amount of players that play the game. Although it is definitely reduced over the years, the amount of active players. It's definitely not like the BC era where there were literally millions online at a time.
Yeah, it was like the most popular game ever at the time, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But the amount of money they spend on servers, if they eventually decide like, okay guys, hey, we're end-of-lifing World of Warcraft, I could see you be pretty damn mad.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, I've got years
just put into it.
Years, maybe 15 years put into this character.
Yeah.
And you're going to end it? Like, I could see being mad about that because there's a lot of time invested.
But on the flip side, I think I'm on like I'm on more your side with an MMO because like an MMO is kind of nothing without the servers anyway because the whole point of it is to be playing with other people.
Because there is no single player.
Yeah, there's no single player World of Warcraft. That's just Warcraft.
Unless you're going to solo everything yourself.
Well, it's kind of like what happened with the WoW Classic now, right? People didn't like the way that Modern Warcraft went. We were talking like the players that were played back 2005, 2006 when it was vanilla and went, you know what? We like the original game. We don't like the expansions. We don't like the changes. So they ended up like bootlegging the code, creating, does it taste good?
So good.
Creating their own custom legacy servers. And then, you know, they would private access it.
Yeah.
But then Blizzard went on a campaign of shutting those down. Because they knew they were going to come back out with Classic, because I saw that as another opportunity to monetize it. And now I've got a rant about WoW Classic, because they're now launching Wrath of the Lich King again, because they launched like BC.
Oh, they're relaunching. Okay.
Yes. They are just
going in circles.
They're
now.
Just literally
just relaunching.
Repeating themselves. And it's like, I get that people are like, oh, we should just go back to the good old days, you know? And that's, I guess, that what they should have done, if you want to know the truth, in my opinion, is within the main game, instead of having a separate download or install for Classic, they should just have legacy modes at which you can enable within the game that literally revert you back to certain expansions and stuff. The way they were pre-patched and the way they were class changes.
Have a realm that's a retro realm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like if you want to, you can migrate your old character to it. And then, you know what I mean? And then play it like you used to or start a new character or whatever. But
I feel like what happens though with some of these companies, especially like Blizzard,
yeah,
they get too big to be able to pivot.
Yeah, and all they think about is
they get that forward momentum going, mm-hmm. whether it's investor or, you know, leadership or whatever. They get that momentum going, and you just can't stop the beast.
This might be a hot take, but I almost feel like Activision is the new EA. Because EA is kind of clawing back a little bit. They're clawing back their good sentiment from everyone and starting to do good. I think it started really around the Jedi Fallen Order era. Mm-hmm. When they, like, EA kind of realized, hey, if we just let Respawn do their thing,
yeah.
and, like, don't bother them, they make good stuff and people buy it. So we're just going to not touch that. And then I think now, you know, after we saw the Battlefield 2042 trailer, it almost seems like EA is back to listening to us.
I feel like in the last 3 or 4 years, I've only finished a couple of games to from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Jedi Fallen Order was one.
Yeah.
Prior to that,
Jay wasn't doing any clerical work at work.
Dude, like, I did more clear than you did.
Yeah, I did. And I was the one that I was like, dude, the game's actually pretty sick. And he's like, all right, cool, I'll pick it up. And then he had passed where I was in the game in like two nights. And I was dang.
Yeah, I was getting lost on all of the, finding all the hidden stuff and really maxing out my
100%ing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I only made it to like 96% completion.
Dude, that's still a lot.
But it's that last 4%. It's like, because here's the thing. I don't believe in going to like guides online and finding the secrets online. Mm-hmm. I like to find them myself. And that map will show you things that are red and whatnot. So you know where you have and haven't been. And like, there's nothing red anywhere in the world. Where is the last 4%? You know? So, because I usually show you this.
It's in your heart, Jay.
That's the moral of the story. Yeah, you're never perfect. Yeah. Oh my
God. You're always 4% dark side, at least.
I mean, still after watching the trailer for Battlefield, I'm still reserved about being, okay, I want to get it opening day kind of deal.
Yeah.
Just because of the running
record.
Yeah, I
mean, I'm not going to get it opening day. I'm still hyped for the game, but I'm not going to get it opening
day. Like, it looks so cool, but it's like, I really just want to wait until it goes into people's hands. Like, okay, has it met the expectations that they've set?
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
And also, I mean,
it's not like a movie series where they're like, okay, we finished it. It's a game. The players determine.
And there's not even a single player campaign in this one anyway, which is great because that means they're just focusing all their effort on the multiplayer.
It's funny because a lot of people, like me included, are kind of upset about there not being a campaign.
Really? I mean, I would be.
Yeah,
I
liked the campaigns.
I would be more I would be more upset about a Battlefield campaign if the last good one wasn't Bad Company and Bad Company 2. Like, Battlefield 3's campaign was super just like, hey, we can Call of Duty 2, but not really.
Yeah.
And then
3's was okay. 5 never completed.
See, and the this is my weird hot take, but like I only play Call of Duty for the campaigns because I actually really enjoy the writing and which to me seems
backwards.
Yeah, everyone plays COD for freaking multiplayer, and I'm just like I think the multiplayer component is just kind of whatever. It doesn't really jive with me.
Yeah, but I do agree with you.
Like I love Modern Warfare's campaign is such a good work of art to me. Like it was paced so well, and then I feel like they kind of dropped the ball with 2 and 3, but Modern Warfare 1's like COD 4. That campaign is freaking one of my favorite single player campaigns I've ever played through. Just because they had such good pacing and everything too. I love the sniper mission right after like the crazy
all gillied up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like the freaking nuke explosion thing, you know what I mean? And
the thing that sucked about the Battlefield 5 campaign, it really was just a long tutorial.
Yeah.
Because each chapter was a different type of gameplay.
And that intro chapter was so good. Yeah. It's like Star Trek 2009 intro good. And then like the rest of it,
I feel like it's just a DICE thing though, because Battlefront 2's campaign was really fun and then that never went. It was supposed to extend and it never did.
Yeah.
They had that one expansion for it.
Yeah, there was one expansion, but it was still not finished.
Battlefront's campaign was good too. Yeah.
It was really good. It was very much like a Rogue One era-esque feeling type of.
Yeah, until Respawn was like, no, let me show you how to do a Star Wars single player game.
Well, we never have to worry about going offline. This week's sponsor, Audible. Hey, do you like that Linus S segue?
I know, that was clean.
All right, let me paint you a picture here. You just got done traveling. My wife just got done. Okay, this is a picture. Try to imagine this: 3 kids, a baby, my 6-year-old, a 5-year-old friend of hers, and a 2-year-old, plus 2 adults in a road trip to Arizona for about 8 hours. No. How do you drown out the kids? You download your favorite audiobook from Audible.
You gotta wear noise canceling earbuds inside of noise canceling headphones.
Mom, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Audible. You know, and so I imagine I actually should have given my wife the noise canceling headphones. She just had the earpods, which wasn't getting it done.
Yeah.
Anyway, Audible is a sponsor that we've used for a long time here. I've got a lot of credits here I actually need to use, and I'm actually a customer of Audible. Believe it or not, they don't give me any of this stuff. I actually enjoy Audible. So one of the books I'm going to be doing now that I'm going to start, I've talked about the self-help section where I like the books are about bettering your health, your mental mood, and all that sort of stuff. But they have a technology section a lot of people may not even realize. So I'm going to start downloading this book here, or this audiobook called Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. So basically, its title here is Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World. And we talked on this show specifically about balancing how much tech to like real life interactions that you have.
Yeah.
We're very good at separating ourselves from real interactions with people, getting caught up in social media, getting caught up in all the digital hubbub in the world, if you will. And so this is a book that's about kind of learning how to be a tech minimalist while also being able to enrich your life with tech. So it's a pretty good title. One of the best things about Audible, though, is that every single month you get one free credit that you can use with anything in their entire premium selection. So right now you guys can head to the link in the description below. You guys will find our link to Audible. And you can start listening with a free 30-day Audible trial and get full access to thousands of all-you-can-listen audiobooks, original entertainment, and podcasts in the Plus catalog. So visit audible.com/RTFMshow or text RTFMshow to 500-500 to get started. So on that airplane trip, I mean, there was like an audiobook type genre that you would listen to. Is there something you would listen to, or are you kind of just like knocks out on the plane?
I don't, and I wish I did. I don't know. Probably. I think the self-help section is always, you know.
You know, it's funny.
Nice to kind of, I guess, try to fall asleep to that sort of stuff and just kind of learn by osmosis.
My wife and I went to Vegas last month in May. We actually were listening to one of the Audible books.
Nice.
The entire way there and back. And it was the one that we had talked about a few weeks ago here, and it's in my library. Actually, I want to find it because it's a book that I think is really important for people to listen to. It's Barking Up the Wrong Tree, The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success Is Mostly Wrong, which I know I said we were going to start listening to that. We've made it a pretty good ways through the book.
It's been really good.
Well, yeah. So the reason why I like the self-help section is it keeps me alert and awake. I usually listen to audiobooks when I'm trying to relax, and the problem is if I listen to fiction, I start to doze off.
Like legitimately doze off?
Yeah, legitimately. Because I start to sit there and imagine the story. And the problem is then I start to kind of fade into dreamland, and then I'm like, oh, man. You know. And so personally, I like the self-help section, and that's a self-help technology-based book.
See, I'm actually kind of like sad that I didn't even think of that, because I just preloaded a bunch of podcasts, and then I was just listening to a bunch of...
Did you listen to ours?
No, actually, oh, man. No, because I left before it. So, because I left on Thursday. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, and then you know, once you get in Hawaii, it's kind of hard to connect. Like,
I don't know. You connected to us pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's hard to. You have to consciously connect when you're in Hawaii because, like you said, I feel like I could just point a camera.
Ah, nature.
Yeah, you can point a camera in any direction, and it just looks like a postcard in Hawaii. I swear, it's insane.
Yeah. All right. So. A lot of news popping out this week regarding operating systems. I wasn't one of the people that jumped on the early access Windows 11 leaked copy.
Was there a leaked copy?
There was a leaked copy. Linus talked about it. Like, he did a video on it, and so did Austin. I'm not the kind of person that's willing to put bootleg stuff or leak stuff on us, even a VM. I'm just like, you know what? I'll let those guys handle it. They can have the views and stuff. But that got me thinking. With Windows 11 apparently being announced on the 24th of June and then coming out like later in October or something, what are the features that you'd like to see implemented, especially since you're very proficient in macOS as well, so you kind of know what both are doing and what they're good and bad at? So what would you like to see implemented into Windows 11, and would you like to see just omitted? Like, Microsoft, it ain't working, give it up.
OneDrive, please.
Okay, yes.
Are we making a freaking option?
Yeah. And it keeps reinstalling itself after updates.
Or like, yeah, so you talked about macOS, right? Like, if you don't sign into iCloud on a Mac, it doesn't run any of the freaking background daemons for iCloud syncing. Why does OneDrive by default always freaking start up on Windows, even if it's not signed in? Like, it's just like, just let us. If we have a OneDrive account, you will know, because we logged into our freaking Microsoft account when making Windows.
But so that's because they're like, we need to compete with Google Drive.
Yeah. And also fundamentally, they're two different companies because Apple's a hardware company. So
you have plenty of rants about Google Drive too. So you ain't like some Google fanboy.
Yeah,
because it has to zip
and
everything.
It's funny because Dropbox was the chosen one. You're supposed to they made their desktop app really crappy too. So there's no real good.
That's why now we just use Relio Sync in our own server.
Yeah, exactly. We have our own cloud with Blackjack and, you know, the other thing.
I wish Windows and Microsoft could just make up their mind on how they want the start function to work. I feel like every version of Windows are like, you know what we should really change? The start button.
Oh, right, yeah, because they're getting rid of tiles, right?
But apparently you can re-enable them.
What?
Have you seen the layout? Have you seen the picture of Windows 11?
Yeah.
Have you?
I only saw one picture.
But doesn't it look a lot like Mac OS?
Yeah.
I did like that apparently left justified start menu is still an option.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was
weird. Like everything being in the middle.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Because, like, it's just weird. It's like imagine getting in your Camaro and then it had, like, your truck's dash.
Like, that's happened to people.
Wait, what?
No, I swear to God. Okay, side rant. We've talked about, like, last week we talked about with Austin about firmware is self-updating in cars and stuff.
Right.
I cannot tell you. So I belong to a lot of car pages. Like, I don't belong, guys, to a single tech page. I don't follow any tech news and nothing.
Well, yeah.
But I follow, like, a ton of car pages. The Nissan stuff because of the 370. I follow Ram stuff. I follow Camaro stuff. I cannot tell you how many people have had, like, over-the-air, OTA firmware updates, and suddenly, because it's like there's infotainment center dash or console, and then you have physical gauges for sweepers for, you know, tach and speedo.
Yeah.
But the center part is customizable. I can't tell you how many pictures I've seen of people getting into their car, turning it on, and suddenly it's showing the overview of a Silverado, and it says hybrid on the top. First of all, they don't make a hybrid Silverado.
So like, basically the config file got messed up, and then the car thinks it's a different brand?
Yes, I can find... Oh, my God. You guys can go look it up right now. Go and look up Camaro thinks it's a truck. That's and you guys hilarious. Will find all sorts of images of the infotainment getting screwed up. And one guy was like, that's weird, because it said tailgate open when his trunk was open. Yeah, and it's crazy. But the fact that it says hybrid, and the top part, like the middle gauges, those are digital.
Right?
And it would show, like, fuel... oil pressure, and then it would show like battery level, like not voltage, battery level.
That's so funny. It's like you would think this is such a like how many? Oh my God! Like I can't even get over it. I can't even understand like how you would make that mistake because it's like.
And the only fix for it is to take it to the dealer and have it like physically flashed.
Imagine if like your mouse driver just decided it was a different mouse one day or something.
This is something that really started happening with like the 2019s and newer. Because my 2018 ZL1 was 1 year before they started doing over-the-air updates. My car does not connect to a cloud. So thank God.
That's the way. Yeah. No, yeah. That's freaking hilarious.
I think I'd be happy with Windows 11 as long as it doesn't bring back any memories of, Windows Vista, where it was like tablet form.
That was 8. Windows 8
was tablet.
Because they had to drop 8.1 to like get everyone to shut up.
Because I would say 8.1 was the one people were like okay with. And then Windows 10 was actually supposed to be the tablet one.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being the tablet one.
Are you sure you're thinking of with the floating tiles in Vista?
No.
The arrow?
It was probably 8. Because you had to go like to a dashboard screen basically.
Yeah, it was 8. Yeah. They forced the start screen on everyone.
And they made it gigantic. Yeah. And then what they did in 8.1 was made it back to the Windows 7 start button style.
That screen, right? Basically that.
Basically.
Because that's the tablet mode screen. It's still there in Windows 10, but only when you're in tablet mode. But
one of the things Windows 10 was supposed to be really good at, just like Windows 8.1, is low hardware overhead. Now, that sort of changed over time.
Yeah.
I feel like that mentality kind of went out the window because they started becoming a resource hog once again. But I'm wondering now if they're going to make it a lighter weight OS. I'm a little concerned, though, that this is when they're going to... What are you using there, like RAM?
7200U with 8 gigs of RAM, and I'm running the latest build of Windows 10, and it's totally fine. So, I mean... Well,
how much RAM is being utilized right now sitting there?
Let's see.
That's a Surface
Task
Pro.
Major. No, this is a HP Elite X2.
Oh, I like you have an Apple sticker on it, just to trigger people.
Because it's a Hackintosh. So 3.5, so about half my RAM. 45% of my RAM is used, and I only have one tab of Chrome open. But whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, two gigs of it's Chrome.
Yeah, it's got an NVMe in there. If it has to swap, like the CPU is the bottleneck, not the RAM.
I'm a little concerned that this might be when they start to. There's been the rumors now for a long time about a subscription based Windows.
I mean,
that's new.
A lot of people. Then you've had your head in the sand because they've been talking about doing subscription based stuff since 8. But I'm afraid they might try and do that this time around.
I mean, if it's cheap enough. I don't know. I'm one of those people that it's like, I jumped on.
Mac OS has always been really cheap.
It's free. It's been free since like 2006. Okay.
The last time I had Mac OS or like a Mac to use it on, it was still like $29 by the OS.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm compared to $109 or $120.
Mac OS used to be $130, but that was when it was when Apple was still like, clawing their way back up with the new iMac and everything too, but yeah,
operating system should be free.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's because Apple makes the hardware, so you're paying them for the hardware.
So it's like you're paying Microsoft for the privilege of having your information stolen, and then they're selling that information and making more money off of you. Hey, let's face it, Microsoft is no longer in the business of operating systems; they're in the business of data mining and selling it.
I think so. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I agree.
It's like, I don't think Microsoft's OS should be
free. Cue all Linux comments at this point.
Yeah. Oh my God, this year's the year of the desktop Linux.
I saw a really good meme. Can you name 100 different operating systems? Linux.
Yeah, seriously. No, and I've been hearing this is the year of desktop Linux since literally I was on Fedora 2. So come on. Like I've been with Linux for a little bit too, and it's like... You know, side note on a side note, but I think that's why I love Mac OS so much is because it's like Linux minus the headache. Yeah.
No, but it's I'm just doing that for my audience. I don't care. Yeah, I use an iPhone, for God's sake.
It's like having a Unix box with freaking a proper GUI on top that can run like real apps, like Steam. You know what I mean? Steam is a bad example because Steam is actually, Valve's been doing a lot of their own work to get Windows games running on Linux with like this thing called Proton.
Does it have to run in its own shell?
Well, they have this compatibility layer called Proton that basically just like redoes, like it fakes like the calls and stuff for the game and that sort of stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, so
could you imagine if these operating system developers actually work together?
Yeah, instead of like, hey, these 37 standards that already exist suck. We should make a 38th one. And then now there's 38 competing standards.
And let's make a proprietary plug as well already.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, freaking Linux. Such a mess.
The last time I ever played with Linux was Ubuntu back in like 2008.
It's just like, no one should...
Remember the Ubuntu phone? There was a failed idea.
I just imagine me like having to hook up a stupid mechanical keyboard to like recompile some crap real quick because my phone broke while I was out. It's like, what are you like? Oh my god!
Everyone swore that the Ubuntu phone was going to be the iPhone killer, but again, the problem is when you have such an open standard, operating system, it's really difficult to get things to sort of be universal, right? At that point, or standardized, I should say.
Yeah, and I think the strength of Linux is really, it's really good as an embedded OS. There's a reason why Google uses it as the base for Android, because obviously since it's open source, you can customize it to have exactly what you need for that specific piece of hardware.
Right.
And so like tons of stuff like, routers and stuff will all run Linux because it's just like, the user is never going to change the hardware. Let's literally just have an operating system that only has drivers for this and it's only this exact version, blah, 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 and we don't have to fiddle with it or whatever. So it's really good for when you don't have to fiddle with anything, and it's really good for if you are a fiddler and you want to run it on your computer.
Are you a fiddler on the roof?
Yeah, exactly. You're a fiddler on your computer.
You're a fill on the roof.
Oh, wait. God.
Nope.
He still gets your own.
There we go. No, this one's appropriate.
We're going to be 100 episodes in. Jay's still going to mess up the buttons.
You're a fill on the roof.
But there yeah, now Linux is if you want, if your weekend project idea is drinking and figuring out why this thing didn't compile so you can get your 3D driver working, Linux.
I just can't.
Yeah, no.
I just can't get over the amount of people that I've seen say, like, I really need an NVIDIA graphics card because AMD graphics cards don't work in Linux or some crap like that.
Never mind. I think their drivers do suck. But the thing is, NVIDIA's drivers, at least last I remember, I'm probably wrong now, but NVIDIA's drivers are closed source, which is kind of funny to think it's for an open source operating system. But NVIDIA just gives you a package, and it's just like, you don't have to compile it. Also, you can't compile it, because then you'll see what our code is. So, like, it's just this package, and then if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then go use Windows. Like, that's basically what NVIDIA was treating the Linux people like, so, yeah.
Maybe I should, Lord knows we've got enough hardware around here. Maybe we should just get a Linux box going
I
can't tell you how many emails I get a week. Jay, have you considered trying Linux?
Yeah.
And it's like I've not used Linux in over 10 years. And I'm sure a lot's changed.
Yeah.
The thing is, for someone like me who already like has finite amount of time to spend on new things, I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest thing holding me back.
Like I tried a modern version of Linux like a year or two ago, and it's like they've done a lot of good strides in making most distros really easy to use for everyone for like the basic function of the computer, right? Word browsing, word processing, all that sort of stuff. But the moment you have to do anything outside of that, you have to know your Linux.
Yeah.
You have to know your stuff in that environment. If you're not comfortable with a command line or, any of the Unix style commands or anything like that, or forward slashes instead of backslashes and paths, which is like already screws up so many Windows and DOS, old school DOS people.
Somebody is saying that AMD works with Linux, not NVIDIA, but I have heard specifically the opposite, so I don't know.
I mean, maybe they've switched back and forth too.
I don't know. I mean,
AMD is more open with
AMD
stuff,
has been having such good forward momentum. Make sure you guys watch tomorrow's video, maybe Sunday's video. I don't know when I'm going to put it live yet. We specifically talk about our experience having now used only AMD-based systems for work purposes now for the last 3 years.
A long-term review.
Very long-term review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Through several generations. I think people might find that interesting, especially those that are on the fence on what platform to go with on their builds. Theoretical hybrid or unicorn builds, I guess. The ones that are sitting there waiting for graphics cards.
That'd be a funny straw poll to see what our audience, like how much of our audience thinks like we render on Intel versus AMD. Or like what they thought our editing rigs were. You know what I mean? Because if you, you know, miss the video.
I think people just think I'm some AMD hater and would never give them any credit. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Yeah. Every system we have in this studio is AMD except for our Intel test bench. This stream is being rendered on an AMD 5950X right now.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a Threadripper 3970X.
And I think you and I definitely have done the, we practice what we preach in that we always just go for the best thing. It doesn't matter what company it came from. Because I went from a
Pentium. Well, I've said that a million times. I've always said if AMD ever gets back on top, I'll use AMD.
Yeah.
Why am I using a 10900K at home? Because I only had one 5900X and I'm using it here.
Yeah.
I use the computer here more than the one at home.
Because back then it was like I switched from my first PC build. That was like really mine and for games and stuff was a Pentium 3. And then I did research on the next upgrades that I was going to go to. And I went straight to an Athlon XP because Pentium 4 sucked.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like, I didn't care that it was green instead of blue. And yes, the color was green for a lot of these people. They think AMD's all red, but it's been green, which I thought was hilarious that NVIDIA.
Yeah, it used to be green.
Yeah. AMD and AMD processors and NVIDIA graphics cards were both green for a while. And then like, I don't know what happened with ATI. I think when the merger happened, they all became red.
Yeah. But, I believe they did that for so everything was.
I remember my Athlon box being all green and everything too. It was like Athlon XP 1600 plus.
Yeah,
it was
they
like,
were very proud of their green color.
Yeah, and I mean, rightfully so, because the Athlon XP was an amazing core. Like that was a really good. I'm getting a lot of that same vibes from Zen recently.
So last year we built you an AMD based rig, and you hadn't had an AMD system like ever.
Yeah, that was my first one.
So how do you feel like it's been?
I've been liking it a lot. I've started using it in DaVinci Resolve for our drone videos, and like, this is.
Look at all them cores go.
Yeah, I'm like, wow.
I don't remember what CPU I gave you.
I don't remember.
Is it the 5800X? 5900X?
No.
First world problem. I don't even remember what processor I gave.
I've built so many systems, I can't keep track of what, when, and where.
No, fair enough.
We have to go back. I'll have to go back and look, but I don't remember.
Nick doesn't even know how many cores he has. He just has.
I'm pretty sure it's an 8-core.
8-core 16 thread?
That's such a funny thing to not know, because it's like 8 cores. It sounds so ridiculous 2 years ago.
Yeah, to get 8 cores, you'd be running Intel Extreme platform.
I guess maybe
before the 1800X came out.
Yeah, or like a 9900K.
Because you were talking about when you were talking about your Athlon, like my flashback was like, oh geez, my first computer was a Pentium 4. I'm like,
you picked the wrong side on that one, dude.
It ran Battlefield 2. That's literally all I cared about is I could play the game.
What was your room being at 103 degrees?
You talking about the X58 platform?
No, this was before X58.
It was whatever P4 was on.
This is PC Club.
Oh, yeah. I bought so many things at PC Club.
Yeah, you mean we wasted so much money extra on PC Club's markup? Yeah.
That X58.
PC Club had that smell. Yeah. When you walked in, you were like,
I feel like Circuit City was the
smells like cancer, but
Before the Prop 65 warnings were a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Prop 65 warning was, does it smell like
You
cancer?
Could always tell when PC Club was running a sale because you couldn't get a spot in the parking lot.
It just smelled like dust.
Remember the San Bernardino one, right? It was always like such a small little, it was tiny.
Yeah, and it was like hidden right off like the freeway.
You could see the sign. You had to go past it to get off. You're like, there it is. They've got my new Voodoo card.
Now that I think about it, I think my dad just always brought me there because it was an excuse to go to Nevada Bob's.
It was across the street.
Right across the street. And there were times where he'd just leave me at PC Club and go golf shopping. And then I was just, the one dude that's working is like, hey, kid, are you good? Do you need help or anything? No, I'm good. That was also
well before the era of like online shopping being prevalent.
Yeah.
And so you would go in there and be like, let me get this week's ad. And you're all unfolding it. Like, I want that. Yeah. I want that. What was it? 60 gigabyte hard drive. Yeah, here we go.
I feel like you had to make such more informed purchases back then because it forced you to research. Like you would go home with the ad and then go Google Athlon XP 1600 plus versus Pentium 4 2. Point whatever gigahertz, and then like look up PC Mark 98 benchmarks or whatever. And like try to figure out which one should I spend.
I love that you said Google, because my PC Club shopping experience predates Google.
Did it really?
Google started being a thing in like, 98, 99, like really kind of started becoming a usable
PC Club's been around longer than I thought.
Because
I was shopping, during the P3.
You both were just like tiny kids when I was shopping PC Club.
That's funny.
I was blowing up Pentium D's while y'all were still knee high to a grasshopper.
Pentium D's after the Athlon XP.
Yeah, I know. I'm just that was from the store where I blew up the Pentium D.
Flashlight in the 1900s.
You mean my lantern?
You're at a flashlight XP 1900 plus.
I don't think I started researching until X58. That one.
Well, that was your iBuyPower PC.
Yeah.
That I ended up rebuilding entirely for you.
Yeah.
So
because that was the typical iBuyPower experience.
iBuyPower forced him to learn how to research PC parts because it was such a crapshoot. Is that basically the sentiment here?
Pretty much.
Well, I built it based off of the Battlefield 3 benchmarks.
That makes sense.
So,
yeah, but they took an X58 and it was like a. It was like a 920 processor, an Intel 920,
yeah.
And they put like a tiny little 120 millimeter AIO on it.
Yeah.
See, it was I kind of got spoiled because I was the only one in my family who even knew what Direct 3D was, and so I was basically just like, "Hey, Dad, we need this, this, and this for this game." Okay, and then you know, it's like, cool. Then you had the shopping list. They never really were like, "Can you find one that's cheaper?" Because they didn't know what a 3D card was. Yeah. You know?
I bought my first Voodoo FX card at PC Club.
Which one? I had a Voodoo. I had a Voodoo 32,000. That was like one of my favorite.
Yeah, I had a 32,000, and then
3200
or 3200, and then yeah, I also had Voodoo 2, Voodoo 4.
Oh, you had a Voodoo 2.
Yeah, nice. And then I had the original NVIDIA 256.
Oh, see, that's what I want on my shelf. Yeah. Like, I just want an original GeForce because that sounds so cool to just have the original, the OG.
And then not long after the 256 is when I discovered EVGA, and I've been an EVGA fanboy ever since. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And everyone knows I'm an EVGA fanboy. I don't mind
that's another thing, too, that most people don't realize EVGA has been around since a while. Like
about a year after
school.
NVIDIA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy.
99, 2000. So NVIDIA really became like full mainstream known in like 98, 99.
They've been around since VGA ports were the port on the graphics card.
Yeah. When NVIDIA actually had chips on the motherboard that were part of the onboard graphics. Remember the NVIDIA motherboards? I can't remember what they're called. I forgot the model numbers of them now, but they had a little vertical fan on there and everything, a little heat pipe and stuff.
I think you might have been during this era. I kind of missed out on it because my first accelerator card was a Voodoo 3 and it had a 2D card in it. Mm-hmm. But like I remember reading it, like there were still ads for it in the ad, but like yeah, you would have to buy a 3D accelerator, but your 2D card, which was actually drawing the desktop stuff, looped into it.
Right.
And then the monitor connected to the 3D card.
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember those vertical pins that came off the side of the graphics card, then another one would connect to.
Yeah, it was like a big flat ribbon cable, right?
Yeah,
or you had an even jankier outside loopback. But like either way, yeah, that was an SLI back then, although 3D FX did do, they invented SLI.
They invented it.
But yeah, no, those pins were for connecting your 2D card so you could see your desktop through your 3D card's output. Yeah,
because the 3D card only did 3D.
Nick is like, why would they ever do that?
Nick,
just put it on the same card.
Nick never also got the satisfaction of slotted CPUs.
Yeah.
No, vertical slotted CPUs.
Dude, the most solid ka-chunk ever. It was so good.
Yeah. I remember the Pentium 2 card we had.
My P3.
Which was a vertical mounted CPU that had a fan on the side of it. It was in there.
That's what I missed because my P3 was a slot load. And then like my F1 was a regular socket. And I was like, oh, this is...
But remember that was before they even had heat spreaders.
Yeah.
It was just direct die on substrate.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they had the stupid felt pads to prevent you. And then everyone's like, don't over-tighten the cooler because if you over-tighten,
you
literally crack your die.
Yeah, there was. It wasn't like nowadays where all the coolers are very specific on standoff height and they'll bottom out before they damage anything.
So for all the people that are new to the PC building hobby or only recently gotten it in the past decade or so, this is exactly why we say it's so much easier now. Because, imagine installing a cooler and then breaking your processor. That was totally a thing you could do easily. Like it really didn't take that much force either. You just basically had to barely squish the thermal paste out and then, like, stop. Luckily they didn't run so hot, so it wasn't really necessary to have perfect thermal paste or whatever. It was either you had it on there or, you messed it up. But
cooler designs back then also were not very extravagant. It's not like nowadays. Well, they were just chunks of aluminum.
Yeah, it was
like small chunks of aluminum. Literally a vertical square heatsink with a little bitty like 40 millimeter fan.
Yeah,
on
it was basically like the stock Intel cooler that we loved to bash was like twice as good as any of the coolers back then.
Yeah, and there was no over thermal protection.
Oh yeah.
You could literally just turn on the PC with no cooler on it and watch the die just go.
Yeah.
Literally watch it split.
It looks like wax melting. It's
just
and then you're just like, well, does it work anymore? No.
Well, it worked. The computer would actually operate and do something until that point, and then you just get the.
Yeah, there was so little anti-idiot protection mechanisms back then.
Releasing the magic smoke.
And I always bring this up every time we go to a retro thing, but like, oh my god, I'm so glad drives don't require jumpers anymore for freaking, is it the master or the slave, or is it cable select, even though cable select never actually
I like
worked.
How they actually renamed it not from master and slave, but to primary and secondary.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, you know, I don't blame them.
But SATA was a godsend.
Yeah.
Because there was no more, like you said, why isn't my DVD drive showing up? No, let's back up here. Why isn't my
the whole cable from showing up when your jumpers are wrong? So everything.
No, No, there was an issue specifically where if the jumpers weren't set right, the thing at the end of the cable would show up,
but not
the ones along.
I remember having one, too, where it was like specific drives, even if you had a cable select and then one set to slave or whatever,
right?
Neither of them would show up because you have to pick
Yeah, because you have to have the jumpers on the back of the drive, the hard drive or the DVD-ROM or whatever, match the location of where it is on the IDE cable.
Yeah, so for Nick and like the new people to this hobby,
he's like what are you guys talking about?
So dumb. I love going through so dumb to talk about. But so,
there we go. We need to source a true retro system.
Yeah, like
and
like
have
90s.
It all in pieces and make him build it and get it to boot.
Oh my god!
without magic smoke?
No. And he needs to get Monkey Island running with the sound card working.
Oh, the MIDI card.
And we don't tell him how to do IRQ stuff.
Yes. Yeah, because you had you had to set IRQ channels so that the motherboard so the motherboard had to know what channel the device was it was communicating with. So you had to tell it sound is on this channel, this IRQ port.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason that's why old people today, and by old I mean older than 40, jerks. They're like, oh, you build computers? You must be so smart. Now it's literally just plug it in and go.
But
these are the things that like people would just imagine computers.
Yeah, nowadays
were.
When something doesn't auto config, we're like, what this thing sucks. It's broken. But like, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, how many times have I tried this stupid? Or like, I remember having one where like I was configuring Descent and like the sound card and everything, and I got the IRQ and everything right, but like I think I got the sample rate wrong.
Oh, it's just all bang. So
I was just like, all right, cool, time to do the sound. And it's like testing center channel. Like, full volume and everything too.
And those little cube speakers that were insanely loud.
Like Cambridge Soundworks. Yeah. Those are the best cube speakers ever.
Yeah, because it wasn't only the fact that you had to have the channel set right, you had to have the bit rate and all that set right. So it was like, and it had to match the card. And the card would usually tell you, like, here's all the settings you need to set for it. And then the IRQ channel just has to match. But yeah, it would just communicate. It would just send a signal, and it would play whatever's being sent to it.
And you had to know what hardware you had, too, because every sound card had a different protocol. So you had to pick, like, did you have a Gravis Ultrasound? Did you have a Sound Blaster
and
Pro 16?
What? And guess what? Do you want to talk about sweating bullets on a purchase? Try buying a card that's newer than the motherboard it's going in.
Oh, no. Yeah.
When motherboards did not have just simple BIOS flashes. Like, dude, you couldn't just go online and get a BIOS, flash your motherboard, and have support.
I don't think I flashed a BIOS ever until, like, the 6000 series NVIDIA card.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, because it was just, like, something you never did. You're like, do you have an EEPROM reader in case you mess this up?
Do you know how many generic IRQs I had? Generic. Because it's like, okay, I may be losing a little bit of quality, but it's working.
Yeah.
So...
You're just running it at like half quality and everything too, just because like whatever, I got it to connect and I don't want to try the other.
Here we go. I'm gonna throw you back. Welcome to Sound Blaster.
Oh no.
Creative Labs.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Sound Blaster, man. You want to talk about a brand that's kind of fallen from the top, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sound Blaster was like, oh man, you got a Sound Blaster card? Yeah.
Dude,
sick, bro.
And honestly, EAX and Aureal 3D when they bought it was such a dope technology because, so if you don't know, it was hardware accelerated audio effects. So it would hardware accelerate the reverb, the occlusion, like muffledness of things that were outside when you were inside and all that sort of stuff. And like now processors are powerful enough that games can just do this in software.
Right.
But I missed having an API because it meant that if a game supported EAX, you knew that it was going to sound dope and it would have all of these effects instead of like you just kind of buy a game and think, oh, the sound design sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's before Dolby, like all that stuff then became THX certified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get the, in fact, I think the first THX game I remember playing was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
I was going to say probably a Star Wars game because obviously Lucasfilm owns THX, but yeah.
But if you go back and listen to it now, you're like, this is THX.
I mean, because the THX brand is just like a...
man.
If you had made it THX, true stereo.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 4.0 surround if you had surround.
Slight simulate.
Yeah.
Wow, no, we just blew right through your topic.
I know, that's fine.
This was a better discussion
this
anyway.
This is awesome. But, like, yeah, and I miss like, surround sound in PC games being, like, such a common thing, too. Like, I remember, like, just, you know, begging my dad for the Creative Labs, like, or no, it was a Logitech 5.1 system with, like, the... Yeah, with the center channel with the two speakers on it and everything, too. I think everyone had that system.
I think push one in chat for those that are re-listening to the podcast. You know, sorry that you can't participate. Push one in chat if you really think that I should source as many of these retro pieces as I can to get Nick to understand how fortunate everyone is
yeah,
today.
I think so.
I've had
push one for me.
If you want us to do a video series literally of, like, getting someone like Nick, who's never experienced what, in my opinion, was the good old days. Like, those were the fun days where you would actually stay up all night listening to music or have a TV on the VHS player watching something or background noise while you're just trying to get your computer build to work, because it took all night initially.
Yeah, seriously.
I miss those days. I mean, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Great. What do you think? Do you want to learn?
Nick's going to learn how to build a Windows 95 PC.
None of it will apply.
Wait, 95
to...
95 or 98? You think 98's too new?
3.1.
3.0. All right, you're on your own on that.
3.1.1.
You have to ask Grandpa.
Was there a desktop or was it still a command prompt?
No, it was,
it was a desktop.
It's called Windows. They had Windows.
That's why it was called it Windows.
Oh,
it's just
bad.
By the time it went retail, there were already version 3 of it.
Jeez.
Well, you think I'm
Windows
trying
to... Windows 1.0 was so ugly, though.
Yeah.
You ever see screenshots from back then? I was just
God, yeah. It wasn't even colorful.
Obvious,
it had no color.
It was, like, such an obvious, like, oh, macOS has Windows. We need Windows, too. And it was just, like, the jankiest, like, crap. You couldn't overlap Windows. That's how bad it was.
I'm gonna date myself. I remember being a freshman in high school, and one of the seniors that was also a computer nerd like me came up to me, and he was like, so you're going to stay on 3.11, you're going to download 95.
The upgrade from 3.1 to 95 was like
night and day. Yeah.
I think that might have been the best Windows upgrade I've ever thought of since...
Well, it was a complete overhaul.
Yeah.
It was a complete overhaul. And then 98 was obviously better than 95, yeah. But 95 was the one that, like, right now, we're all like, I don't know, I'm not going to adopt 11. No, I'm not going to... That's what everyone was like then. No, we're staying on 3.11.
It still it still blew my mind that they were running... Windows was a DOS app.
By the way, I hope you like pastel colors.
Yeah, or beige. Beige. Not even a color. You didn't even have a choice. Everything was freaking
No, I'm
beige.
Talking about the OS color schemes.
Oh,
were always pastel.
Yeah. Oh, pastel. Okay.
Pastel
and,
blues.
Like, the most depressing
I could
gray
tolerate it.
Default. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it blew my mind that it was still a DOS app up until XP, because the NT kernel was the first one that was truly its own, like, Windows as a GUI was its the whole operating system.
Mm.
But for the longest time, like, when you would shut down a Windows PC back then, you'd see the DOS prompt for a second, and then it would go to the it's now safe to turn off your computer.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, you kind of see behind the curtain a little bit, and you're like, Windows is literally a DOS app. Like, you're running an app that runs other apps and everything, too. But at the end of the day, like, you could actually exit to MS-DOS, and then, like, to get back into Windows, you would just type WIN, win, enter, and then it boots Windows as if it was booting a computer for the first time. And it was like, oh, that's kind of funny. They just made an app that runs apps.
Yeah.
And then finally around XP, they unified the NT and the blah, 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 and whatever. And
I remember, like, almost every game I ran on Windows 98 had to have a 95 compatibility mode.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, because they switched over the NT kernel, which was their business kernel.
I remember in 95.
Okay. No, I forgot. You guys don't know the struggle of my parents only buying Windows NT because my dad worked for corporate, like, an enterprise.
See, I ran Win2K for a little bit.
NT 4.0 is what it was.
Yeah.
And I remember, like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to run everything in NT in compatible mode. And hope it worked.
Yeah, they never made video card drivers and stuff for it because it was just like, no, this is for business. Why would you play a game on NT? Like, literally, you could just imagine old dudes in suits, like, yelling at you about, like, trying to get direct 3D to run.
They didn't have that slope, that ski slope game where the snowman
comes at you. No, I don't even think it has solitaire by default. It was such a business-focused operating system. Because
are you talking about the ski slope game where you just left and right?
Ski free, with the abomination thing that eats you.
Yeah.
I don't remember the abomination thing. I have to look it up. I don't remember that.
If you ski for long enough, maybe you sucked at it. But if you ski you ski
easy.
For long enough, he comes and eats you. So. Yeah. you couldn't get away from. I think there was like a cheat code or something to get away from him. But
jeez, I told you I don't do cheat codes.
Dude, that's all I did.
I had a Game Genie for my Nintendo, but then I, like, never even used it.
Were you like, this feels illegal, I'm going to get in trouble?
I hope no one's watching.
My permanent record.
I had a Game Shark for my Game Boy.
Don't you scare me with that.
Used a Game Shark on a Game Boy 10, 20, 30 years, I don't even know how many years ago.
What was it? because back then it was Pokemon, but my sister deleted
it.
My
would be Pokemon.
It would be, but my sister deleted my save. I didn't want to grind through it again.
Oh my god, dude! Did you disown her?
He's disowned her for other reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's still family, though.
I can't believe. Oh no.
So that happened.
You know, no one kicks you in the nuts like your own family.
Yeah. So
imagine somebody deleting your WoW account.
I only did that. I only did.
My wife probably tried more than once, but she's not very tech savvy.
True.
She didn't know my password.
She doesn't. Know
and
it
I had
yet.
An authenticator.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use a game shark to get myself caught up.
Okay, that's a fair. I think that's a fair use of it.
The only thing I would ever do is like. I can remember the most consistent code I would use, not even Game Shark code, but code, was just getting to Tyson and Punch Out and just trying.
Oh, right. Right?
Because
right.
I was like, I don't want to go through that grind. You lose three times or you retire. But
there's a whole freaking tangent I could go off on that, too, because, like, dude, blindfolded Punch Out, speed running is
hey,
like
what do you think? Do you think they should remake Mike Tyson's Punch Out but call it Paul Logan's Punch Out?
Oh, jeez.
Dude, how many? Yeah, I want to see a speed run of that. I want to knock Logan. I would sell like
I think
hockey.
I think at this point you got to get in line. The problem is every time somebody wants to knock him out, he just makes more money. Yeah, so it's kind of a lose-lose.
Apparently, I got to get in line behind Mayweather because he didn't even do it. So
he was like 40 pounds outclassed. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't know. Whatever. I didn't watch the fight either. I didn't know any specifics.
The fight either, but I saw a couple of highlights, and I saw a highlight of Mayweather punching him in the face, and Logan just stuck his tongue out and smiled.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, that's...
I'm sorry.
That kind of sucks.
You know, when you're used to boxing in like a 155-pound class, and you're suddenly boxing a 195-pound guy or whatever his weight is, it's like, I'm sorry, I don't care how hard you hit. You kind of need to make up for that.
There's weight classes in boxing, yeah.
But anyway.
LP-sized floppy drives. I just saw that right away in chat. Freaking 5 1/4 inch. Have you ever seen a 5 1/4 inch in real life, Nick?
Ladies.
I might.
That's going to get clipped. God damn it.
I want to say yes, but I don't think it was exactly.
You see like pictures of them, right, with the big hole in the middle, and then like you take it out of the paper sleeve and the.
I remember them being paper sleeves, but I don't think it was 5 1/4 inch because they're slightly.
5 1/4 inch quarter? What is a 5 1/4 inch quarter?
5 1/4 inch.
You sound like every European trying to use our units. Yeah. How many 5 1/8 inch quarters is that wheel?
Oh, it might be 5 1/8. Yeah.
5 1/4 inch.
Well, I don't remember the.
Did it go.
Was it floppy?
Yeah.
That's okay, why they were called floppy disks.
Yeah, then it was a 5 1/4. Yeah.
I remember my aunt had those.
Did it have the circle with the little. Look like a big explanation or exclamation point?
Oh, I just had another random.
There's a big circle in it. I don't remember. Yeah. Like,
you're talking about 5 1/4. Yeah. Because the 2.5 inches were solid. They were plastic, so.
Ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Every time we talk.
Yeah, 5 1/4 inch is floppy or 2.5 inches solid. Don't ask me how it works.
The two things you can't talk about without getting immature is
floppy
disk drives and golf.
Hard
disk drives. Yeah, and golf.
You're going to fix that divot.
You got to grip the shaft correctly to get the ball in the hole. Like, that's
how much does your shaft flex?
Mine's extra.
I remember those discs, though, because my aunt had Back to the Future. I used to play that. But she had to do it for me.
I like how Nick's like, just stay on topic, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, no, just stay on topic.
Let's try another.
Whoa. Oh, I have the talking stick.
You got one right there, Phil.
I know. That triggered another memory. Remember the old floppy disk Rolodexes that you used to have? Like the big plastic cases that you.
Do you know how much it sucks?
Like, where's my stupid.
Do you know how much it would suck to go through, like, it would suck to go through, like, a 4 or 5 disk install? And then realize you lost disc 5.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man. You're sitting there and it's like, enter disc 5. And you're like, where is it?
I think like
where is it? You're all looking through the sleeves again.
Flight 95 or something was like straight up like 11 discs or some ridiculous crap.
It was stupid.
It was so bad.
My wife sent me a text face palming.
Does she remember floppy disks?
No, she's listening.
Oh.
She didn't do floppy. Are you kidding? The first computer she bought when we were together was a Dell 800 megahertz on Windows ME.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I remember that computer for. I remember that computer for many reasons.
That means even I built a computer before she got her first computer. That's crazy.
Well, they had a family computer, but that was her first, like her computer. And I remember that computer, like I can see it clear as day, because she bought everything I warned her not to.
Yeah, like Windows ME to start with. Windows Millennium Edition was like, oh my god.
Jeez. She was excited, but I'll tell you right now, it was one of those things. I mean, all she really did was like. AOL and stuff, right? So it was fine for that, but we already had like 1.2 gigahertz systems out, you know, and we had she got ripped off by that Dell unit. And apparently, they're still ripping people off to this day if you look at these videos. But
somebody said Windows 95 was 25 floppies. Jeez, I actually had a Windows 95 CD. So
yeah, we had a CD as well.
Dang, 25 floppies.
But that was back when you can actually carve it up and put it on floppies.
Also, if you think about it, 25 floppies is such a waste of a CD because that's only like 50 megabytes at most.
Well, you just look at the ring and they'd be like, oh, look, yeah, it's right, only like 5% burned.
Like, you'd see the CD and the ring was like this thick. Like,
remember when they used to have the mini CDs?
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people don't even know this. If you still have a CD-ROM or a DVD-ROM, you would have the big ring and then there's a smaller one in the middle. That was specifically awesome. For the smaller one. And it's funny, you used to go to Comdex. Here we go. Aging ourselves now. We'd go to Comdex. Do you even know what Comdex is? Okay, no. Shut up. So anyway. Shut up. Comdex was a computer convention.
Oh, wait. That's what I call the computer fair, right? On Pomona Fairgrounds?
No, Comdex was in Vegas.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Think of like CES, but specifically computers and
for old people.
Pretty much, yes. Okay. So anyway, we would go to Comdex. Even as a kid, I would go with Comdex with my parents. And they would give out those little tiny discs like that as business cards.
Yeah, I remember that. And they had the top and bottom cut off so you could actually fit it in a wallet.
Yes, it was like it was like flat and then round on the sides.
Yeah, it looked like the new stupid Tesla steering wheel.
Oh, the yoke.
That's a whole new topic I don't even want to go into. It's so dumb. Oh my God, it's so dumb.
Yeah, Comdex. Now, you talk about some... You talk about some good memories.
Yeah, GameCube disc size, exactly.
Oh, okay, yeah, GameCube disc.
I like how that's what... He was like, he couldn't even Google it. What were you looking at?
I looked at Comdex. I'm like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cute?
That's there
cute.
You go, old boy.
Everything you have today, sir, is because of what Comdex did through the 70s and the 80s and all that stuff.
I wasn't even around then.
It's funny. If you, that's one of the things. One of the reasons why I think I like the early seasons of Halt and Catch Fire, because it really takes you back to the pioneering era of Comdex. Comdex was where you had the small guys pioneer, like showing and demonstrating what they've created, hoping the big guys would buy it.
Yeah.
It was a trade show.
Oh, my gosh. That, like, yeah. I just remembered, yeah, okay, so back to the mini CDs, though. They were not compatible with slot loaders in cars. Ask my dad. Also, ask how grounded I got. Because I was burning it. Because me and my friends were... Burning you know, my friends were like burning CDs, and I was like, oh, it'd be sick to put a little, like a mini mixtape. Because I was also messing around with like PC DJ and just like actually doing proper mixtapes and everything.
My wife's correcting me because she's like, she said, except I did buy the sound system that you suggested.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of the Altec Lansing, like remember the tower ones with the little speaker on the bottom?
Yeah.
The clear ones? She got those. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like, I was burning little mini mix CDs for friends and stuff. And then, because we were playing it on our Walkman or our Discmans, right?
You tried to load it in a CD player in a car?
Well, because it clips in the freaking regular Discman, so I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, was it like,
in the car. Exactly. And then my dad was like, what did you just put in there? I was like, the mini CD? It took. And that's why, this is a basic one. It doesn't. And then the ride home was silent. And, like, he didn't even turn on the radio because, like, he was just so mad about the fact that, like, we had to rip apart
You know you're in trouble if your dad typically yells and then he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, like, a Blaupunk head unit, too. So it wasn't, it wasn't a cheap head unit. We had to go to, like, the freaking stereo, like, place to go get
Pacific Stereo, bro.
Yeah, probably where you were. If you ever had
I worked at U.S. Car Stereo.
I was going to say, if you ever had a 560...
Not owned by anyone from the U.S., by the way.
Well, if you ever had a 560 SEC with Lawrence or wheels come in with a broken Blaupunk head unit...
Everything I worked on was a hoopty, okay?
Okay, cool.
Like I would remember.
This is best hard bass, bro.
It's not... My dad exactly... My dad
this is best
exactly,
music, bro. This is best music.
I was going to say, he couldn't exactly afford the car, but I freaking sure love that car, riding it and everything.
So I'm going to tell a quick story that's kind of funny. So I a lot of people don't know this. I actually, one of my early careers was going into law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, I was actually hired with the CHP, the California Highway Patrol.
It was right after your, like, the kid in Up. Phase where you were like
my Russell.
You were the wilderness explorer with all the badges and everything.
Yeah, well, I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm an Eagle Scout and I'm
a, I mean, it's a lot of work, so you gotta give up props for it, but like I just immediately thought Russell from
I'm an Eagle Scout and I have Vigil Honor inside the Order of the Arrow. I have no, like, I am not embarrassed about that whatsoever. The things I did in scouting,
you 100%ed it basically.
Pretty much. And then I went on and then I went to being, you know, scout leader and stuff, or junior scout leader and stuff. But anyway, So I used to work for the car stereo shop, like I was mentioning. It was owned by Jordanians. It was very shady, very, very shady. All my pay was all under the table and stuff.
And you were just like, I don't care. I'm getting paid.
I'm getting money and I'm not paying taxes. This is awesome, right? So
you get a letter from the IRS right now. Hey, you owe us like $500 in back taxes.
Yeah. So I get a bill instantly, an email. Yeah. So you just admitted
it's only like $500 because it's not like you were making that much back then.
So my best friend and I, you know, we worked at this car stereo shop, like I said, and we were installers. We weren't sellers. We were installers, and we were two of the only installers that actually tried to do things right. Most of them were like turnover, right? Because they want to get as many as they can.
Yeah, just twist ties on whatever you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. And we were the ones that were like heat shrinking and all that. And they're like, no, you have to do this quicker, you know? But anyway, so I was in the hiring process with the California Highway Patrol. This is in the year 2000. I was already a CHP Explorer for several years. I'd already gone to the Junior Academy and all that stuff, right? And I had my hire date. Was waiting for my academy date, and then that was the year that California had the major budget crisis, and they froze all state hiring, including new law enforcement.
No.
Believe it or not, those of you watching right now, that is what sent me down the tech tree that I'm in now. But one of the things, because I was no longer being hired, I had an ID card and stuff that I had to give back to the officers at the station that I was technically still Explorer for.
Right?
Because when you're an Explorer, if you're 21, they basically will sponsor you to get you ready for the academy and stuff.
Okay.
So it's like not fast tracking, but if you have a sponsor or someone vouching for you that's already an officer in your Explorer program, it's kind of like, hey, you go to the top of the list, right? And so it was one of those things where I was like procrastinating giving back my ID card because I'd gotten pulled over twice and flashing that got me out of tickets and that was nice. And I didn't want to give it up. Well, when you don't give your ID card back, the police come to you to get it back. So they knew where I worked.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They're basically Facebook, right? They have all of your info.
Yes. So they came to get it back, right? And I was gone at lunch. But now, apparently, when two highway patrol units pull up into this particular parking lot. Now, this business is, like, totally shady. Like, look, San Bernardino, East Street, stereo shops, anyone watching, you know exactly where I'm talking about. When police roll up into there, people quickly start locking their toolboxes and stuff, putting away their crack, you know, all sorts of stuff. So anyway, I was gone at lunch.
Where'd you put yours? No, I'm kidding.
I'm all trying to remember.
I know. No. Yeah. You were so in the flow that I didn't
think about it.
You just like kicked me off the rails.
I'm sorry, anyway.
So anyway, I come back from lunch, and I remember one of the biggest crackheads of like the installer group. There were like 7 or 8 installers.
And we're not joking, by the way. This is San Bernardino. We're like,
if it wasn't crack, it's meth. Okay, yeah, it's one of the two.
Crackhead in San Bernardino, it's an actual crackhead.
Oh, so real
crackhead.
Real
crackhead. Yeah, like he would get 3 awards.
So my best friend and I, we both worked there, and we drove back in. And we were walking into the installer's bay, and they were like, "Dude, the cops came looking for you, man." And we were like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I thought you were just a nerd, but it seems like you're like a badass." And I was like, "What?" She was like, Officer Brandon was her name, it was female. Yeah. She was like, "You tell him to call me the second he gets back here. I need to talk to him immediately." He was like, "She was mad at you." I was like,
"You got like kudos points for the cops."
I immediately was all nervous. I'm like, damn, they want that ID card back, right? That's a security problem, right? Because that ID card would get you into things I no longer had access to.
You just want to keep it as a souvenir, right?
There's no souvenirs with a law enforcement ID, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, she came back to get it, and you know, I handed it to her, and you know, she was like, "Well, good luck. You know, sorry about the hiring freeze and all that." She's like, "You can't do anything about that. We know that's going to lift." And I was like, "Well, I've already kind of moved on. You know, yada yada yada."
Yeah.
But it was funny after they left and they drove away, they were all just looking at me like, "He didn't get arrested." And I was like, "Dude, no." I went up to the guy and I was like, "Are you not asking yourself why the highway patrol is at the stereo shop? I mean, don't you think it'd be the police?"
No, all they saw was a mission accomplished and plus respect at the bottom.
But I just remember the look on their face. Dude, the cops were looking for
That's
you.
That's so funny. You got kudos points just because you left the ID behind. But they thought you were like some super gangsta dude. That like,
yeah, it's like,
I paid. The cops are on my payroll. So
fun fact, that was when I had my 92 Camaro. It was a Z28. And when we used to do like, especially in the Explorer program, you practice things like, you know, felony stops, drug searches, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they always used my car as like to stage it.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And I told you, she wrote me a ticket
on your own car,
on my own car, because I had tent.
This is
how like hard ass they were. So they were like, "Oh god, I said bad word."
Oh, drink.
No.
Also,
not the face. Oh, you the ribs. You're supposed to get it too.
Wait.
No.
Okay. Whatever. I'm fine. Anyway, let me interrupt you for a second because we had a bunch of people in the chat all just yelling about. Like, oh, I feel bad for Nick because he looks like he can't get a word in, even though, like, Jay's just completely, like, talking over him or whatever. Did you even have anything to say, or are you just listening to the story and laughing?
Which part?
The whole thing. The whole story.
I think we were talking about earlier stuff, but I got my words in, so carry on.
Yeah, like, Nick's default face is just this. Like, it's not because he wants to talk. He's listening to the story, guys. Like, you guys all need to chill the heck out. They literally call you a jackass, and I'll cuss and shoot me.
Okay.
Because I said jackass.
Do you think I really care that some random pixels on the screen that I don't know or truly care about called me a jackass?
But it's like... But it's
you guys
like,
are pixels on a screen.
No, it's not even... Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even expecting that one.
Wait, he said the S word right after when
no,
you shot him.
I did not.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
I don't think he did, but we'll watch the replay later. Anyway,
let's shoot him later. But yeah, like, guys, our dynamic is our dynamic. No one's unhappy. If we were, then we'd slap each other.
You guys triggered Phil. I've just been ignoring you guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
like, anyway, okay, so your Z28, you got tinted.
Well, okay, so I remember they were like, okay, pull your car up, because it was in the parking lot of the station, right? They were like, pull your car up, and they pulled a unit behind mine, and turned the lights on. Everyone's always, hey, the lights, woo, woo, we all happy. And they're like, now they're like, today we're going to practice writing tickets. And I was like, oh, cool. And she made me write my own ticket.
That's messed up.
Like, she signed it and stuff, but I got to fill it out.
I've heard this story like 3 times. It still cracks me up every time, because like the irony is just the ultimate flex.
At least it wasn't a state ref.
It was tent.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think state ref was a major thing back then. That's something that's become really a push later. But anyway. All right, let's go and move on to the FTFA. This is from the freaking audience, where we read your short, concise emails that you guys want to write to us to contribute to the show. And sometimes it'll spark conversations, or you guys just calling us names because you guys think I'm a jerk. And if that's the case, just hit the X and leave. Anyway, moving on here. Tyler from Utah says, I was wondering, what is your favorite beer? I've never been a fan of the taste or smell of beer, but I want to try different ones and see if I like any of them. I like sweeter drinks, but I want to try different things. Any recommendations? Nick?
I recommend Golden Road Brewing Spicy Mango Cart.
Is that actually considered a beer, though?
It's a wheat beer. It's like a mango wheat.
Say, where does it say beer?
Yeah, isn't it Hefeweizen or something?
Wheat ale with mango and natural flavors.
Okay, let me smell it. I want to smell it. Oh, see, I don't like the smell of that. Well, I don't like the chili.
Yeah.
So
there's some spice to it.
I personally like Hefeweizen. I like most German beers, but Hefeweizen for sure, which
Hefeweizen's a good choice to start
Hefeweizen with. Hefeweizen with a slice of orange in it, perfect. Because that citrus, the citrus orange will really bring out a lot of the flavors in the wheat.
Yeah.
And then it's got a real smooth flavor to it. It doesn't have that.
It's heavier, but it's like nice and round, and like nothing just surprises you. It's not like some crazy arrogant bastard type like IPA stuff.
I don't like any of the hipster.
That's the name of the beer, Nick.
Oh,
I don't like the. He was already shoot your lip again.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like IPA and like beer culture and stuff has really just diluted beer for me. No, no pun intended.
Yeah,
because
I feel like the IPA guys are in their own world. Their own.
They're too judgmental and stuck up about beer.
A lot of
to
them,
ever
yeah,
let anyone enjoy their beer.
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't drink this IPA, then you're not an actual beer drinker.
Yeah, but like an actual beer drinker
doesn't
like
care.
Enjoys IPAs along with.
Do you
like,
know what else I can drink at a party and I have a problem? Corona.
Yeah.
You know how many people are just like, ew, Corona, ew. Like, okay, I'm probably not going to drink Coors Light, even if it's free, because I don't like it. But I'm not going to be like, ew, you're drinking Coors Light? Gross.
Which is actually funny, because that's like my favorite chuggable beer. But
you like Michelob Ultra, too.
Yeah, Michelob. Yeah. I mean, well, all of them are freaking chuggable. But anyway, as far as like a starter beer choice, I mean, if I were to say my favorite, it would definitely be Yuengling from out in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
That lager is like, if I could just like snapshot lager and be like, tell the world this is what a lager tastes like, that freaking beer.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's so good.
I've not tried many lagers. I'm usually an ale guy or like I said, a Hefeweizen guy, but I've never tried lagers.
But I did get my start when I first started drinking. Like, I remember loving Hefeweizen a lot because it's a really easy beer to get into, even if you're not drinking beer.
My problem is, if you can't describe the notes in beer in less than a paragraph, like IPAs, then I'm sorry. Get over yourself.
If it's too complex.
Get over yourself. It doesn't need all this crap thrown in it, you know? I'm sorry. IPAs to me, just if you say I like IPAs, I'm typically like, okay, hipster. Yeah. You know? I mean, not that necessarily is hipster
because,
is a bad thing,
because
but
PBR used to be the hipster beer.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, but I freaking love PBR too. I have a really trashy beer taste, except for Yingling, because nothing, like, Yingling is perfect. But anyway, yeah, I love PBR. I love Coors Light, freaking Mick Ultra. I'll chug that. Pacifico, obviously. I'm a lager dude, so like anything that's like nice and light.
Modelo's
and, like,
is another one people really like.
Yeah, Modelo's pretty good.
We had a lot of Modelo's at my 40th. Mm-hmm. Like, people were drinking that too.
Oh, if you don't like spicy.
Oh, jeez, I just saw somebody chat. I used to willingly drink 211 Steerwell's Year.
Oh, no.
Dude, your liver's made of adamantium, man.
I also used to drink Everclear and Steven Seagal. Remember those stories?
God.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I take that back. I think Jay's alcohol taste might be the most, like, ghetto out of all of us.
I didn't say I liked the taste. I've muscled through it to get to the
alcohol taste, as in, like, what you drank.
Again. It's not a taste.
Okay, so you didn't enjoy
drinking it. I muscled through it to get to the result.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a vehicle to the drunkenness.
Point A to point B. It didn't matter what route he took. He just wanted B.
No, here's the thing. God. Here's the thing. I was a really big guy. If I just threw my head back, closed my eyes, and imagined I was somewhere else, when I came back to, I was where I wanted to be. If you drink Everclear fast enough.
Yeah. I honestly think Four Loko might taste better. I'm not even joking. Because I drank a lot of Four Loko back in the day.
But Tyler, if you don't like spicy, I recommend Leinenkugel Brewery. They're out of Wisconsin, but they make a summer shandy.
Ooh, it's pretty good. That sounds good too. Yeah. That's basically a mix between a lager and
lemonade.
Like a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, it's like lemonade and beer, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah, all right. You can't go wrong with Hefeweizen either.
Orange Tree says, and there's no name, just Orange Tree was the email. What movies or shows did you watch the most on VHS ? Or DVD?
Star Trek Voyager.
Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
4, 5, 6. Like, I've gone through like 2 collections.
Yeah.
Spaghettifying them.
But yeah.
And Top Gun. I watched all.
Oh yeah. I think I wore a Top Gun DVD or VHS. And then, like I told you, my sister and I watched The Goonies so much, my parents stopped buying it on VHS and got it on DVD because we kept wearing them out. We also wore out the DVD.
Oh, dang. My God.
It was just always on. Well, you play a DVD enough and you handle it enough, it's going to get scratched and stuff.
Yeah, because every time you put it in the tray, it scratches. So, yeah. You know, like a little bit.
Yeah, we wore out the DVD. And the funny thing is, like, we could recite that movie and we knew all the mistakes. And we also knew the deleted scenes because the DVD, right? Which answered a lot of questions because we were like, what do you mean octopus? They talked about the octopus was the scary part. There's no octopus in the movie. Then the DVD, see the deleted scenes, you're like, oh, there was a big octopus in the water with the ship. And you're like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But the editors didn't catch that and cut that part out.
That's funny.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Freaking, that just reminded me of The Sandlot, too. I remember watching that a lot.
I watched The Sandlot a lot, but, I mean, I was older.
Yeah, I was going to say, The Sandlot was probably, like, what The Goonies was to you, but for me,
my
age-wise.
My youngest has been watching The Sandlot.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
Because
it's a good movie.
Well, because we have Disney Plus, and that movie's on Disney Plus.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is Johnny Tsunami on there?
Johnny Tsunami? I don't
That was post.
That sounds like either a move or an actor.
No, like broadband was around already. That's why I'm laughing because I'm like, what the heck? Like that doesn't even count. That's not the DVD VHS era.
wait. Oh, Brink. That.
Oh, Brink. Oh my Brink. God, Brink. I had so many rollerblading friends that were. So,
I don't.
They would just watch that movie on repeat.
All right, like, Boomer Me has no idea what you guys are talking about.
There's another Disney movie. It came out because the Mighty Ducks happened, right?
Oh, okay,
and then like. So all of a sudden, skating.
Flying V!
Yeah, like, skating became, like, the new thing. And so, like, Brink was, like, this whole street skating, inline skating, like, movie about it. I never watched it, but I had a bunch of friends that were super into it. And then they were the ones that, wait, remember Soaps?
Oh, yeah.
Stupidest shoes ever. They had these shoes that had, a plastic grind rail thingy on it. So you could jump on a railing and grind it.
But it was contoured. They had, like, 2 rollers in it, and then that metal piece, right?
No. It just had a plastic. It was literally just a plastic, like, thing. And then you jump on a rail, and then
you just slide off
slid
of
down.
It. Yeah.
Like a bar of soap.
Well, I hate to interrupt this date, but Chaotic Mind says, do you think you will keep working on the 3D Mark top score? Love your show and the chemistry between you three. I just looked at the score. We're down to number 12 now. We were 10. But no, here's the thing. They're about to break 20,000.
What?
We're still just, we just broke 18,000. We were like, they're about to break 20,000.
In the top 10? What's number 10 at?
Oh, number 10 is.
Can we get back in the top 10 at least?
Well, number 11. So our score is like 18,093.
Yeah.
And the one above us is 18,100. And then I think it's like 18,400 above that, which is Kingpin's score. And then everything above there goes all the way to 19,447, I think it is. So That'd be funny
to beat Kingpin, though, like, with Kingpin's cards.
Well, Kingpin's winning because the card in top is an EVGA card. It's a Kingpin card.
Oh, right. Just Kingpin didn't do it.
Yeah, so...
That's hilarious.
Kingpin's really been supporting the overclocking community and letting everyone else battle it out. I have a feeling he'll come back top spot eventually. Yeah. But we did get the card back a while ago from being fixed from when I knocked that that capacitor off. But I know. But I haven't had
Rossman just going over there randomly in the corner.
I haven't had time to. My wife's sending me pictures of the posters from Brinks and Johnny Tsunami or whatever. Oh my anyway, God.
Yeah, I know that post with all the hearts is. Oh my God, I love Brink, and I was like, of course. Yeah, I told you.
I haven't had time to. Set aside trying that again. We'd be starting all over from scratch. I gotta get the LN2 here. And to be honest, it was one of those things where, like, I kind of fell back from that because of the GPU shortage stuff. The last thing I wanted to do was be, like, showing you guys overclocking and LN2 cooling a card. But I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm listening to you guys and saying, screw all the people that are mad that you can't buy anything. Make what you like doing and we'll watch it. And that's the advice I'm doing. That's why we put up the Gundam build.
It's different, too, because it's like, yeah, no one can get a video card, but it's not like everyone can also get an LN2 tank and do it. So you're still showing
people. And that's what the card is built for.
Yeah.
But I was trying to hold off from doing all that stuff because people were getting pissy about it. But it's like, you know what?
Right.
At this point, I don't care anymore. Be mad. I'm going to make what I like making. Watch it if you want to. Don't if you don't. Either way, we'll still be here with or without the view. So, all right. So Brian doesn't say where he's from. He says, love the content. Don't change anything. Question about VR and sim racing. Currently have the original HTC Vive and hate the screen door effect. That's the lines that you can see, the space between pixels, by the way. What VR headset do you use or would you recommend? Price not really a concern, just better quality and less screen door effect. I have the Oculus Quest, the Oculus Quest 2, and the Oculus Rift S. Now, the Rift S and the Quest 2 are very similar, except for the Quest 2 is OLED. And
no. Quest 1 was OLED.
Quest 1 is OLED. Quest 2 is LCD.
Yes.
Rift S is also LCD. But there is a...
I believe the Quest 2 is higher resolution than the Rift S, but I might be wrong.
I don't remember what the resolution is, but I can tell you on my Rift S, which I use on the computer, I don't really use the room scale self-contained one that much. My kids do all the time. The screen door effect is noticeably less.
Yeah.
It's a lot less... Like, you can read text in it, no problem.
And I... I'm using my Quest 2 at 120 hertz on the PC, and it's pretty freaking awesome.
Okay.
Like, and it is slightly higher resolution than an Index, but you are losing a little bit of performance with the Quest Link system. And I'm not even talking about, like, doing it over Wi-Fi. I'm talking about with the cable and everything. You do lose a little bit of performance because of the GPU has to encode. So right. I would basically say Quest 2 or Index. Pick one of those, and then you'll be totally good. Especially because you said price is not a concern.
Yeah.
Also, the Index has really good audio that no one ever talks about, but those freaking off-ear speakers are the coolest thing ever. And so, yeah.
My issue with the Rift S ones and the Quest 2 is they're just not loud enough.
Dude. Like, I think you should... One of these days, I got to get you to try an Index, because, dude, like...
Do you have one or no?
No, I have a
buddy. That's the Valve Index, right?
Yeah.
But there was a huge waiting list for those, so I never even bothered.
And then, God, good luck now, right? Yeah. But, yeah, their off-ear speakers are sick. It's like a... It basically is like a speaker with a full range and everything. You get, like, sub-bass out of it and stuff. It's dope.
All right, so this one's from Andre. I think it's Andre or Andre. It says, Does iRacing have a steep learning curve compared to other racing sims? I'm considering buying iRacing after playing Project Cars 2 and Dirt Rally 2.0.
Hey.
I know, I've been playing a lot of 2.0 lately. Since I currently own a racing sim rig, but I have doubts about sinking a lot of money into iRacing, they're referring to the subscription, by the way, and also how daunting the game could be. My rig has a Thrustmaster T500 RS and a wheel and a two Thrustmaster TH8A shifters, a stick shift, and a sequential shift separately. So he's got good stuff. Okay, iRacing, there's a reason why NASCAR and even Formula use iRacing in the pandemic offseason to at least host, like, digital events, because...
Physics.
They're the most realistic when it comes to the physics. They're not the best when it comes to graphics. Look at Nick. He belongs to an Assetto Corsa fan club, so he's gonna argue. But
no, I was just gonna say, I thought...
When I said iRacing has the best physics, he goes...
No, because I thought F1 used R-Factor for their events.
Did they use R-Factor?
It might have been.
R-Factor and iRacing are both...
R-Factor actually has arguably the best physics. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say this anyway. GM Performance and their racing simulator. So NASCAR has their sensor cars,
right,
where they can take a car out on track, capture all the data for the car, then they can load it up in the sim rig, and then what they're able to do is make changes to it in simulation... They use R Factor for that because it's the most realistic.
Okay.
But R Factor also has the worst graphics, in my opinion.
I was about to say, like, I thought R Factor and iRacing were, like, on this tier, and then you get Assetto, and then you get all the mainstream ones.
Look, iRacing's very expensive. You get it a set is. Of
cars. Project Cars in between. Project Cars above Assetto.
Project Cars is pretty, but I don't like its physics and its tire model.
Okay, interesting.
I would put Assetto above Project Cars.
I would, too.
Project is just way too arcadey
now. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It used to be really good, but as it went forward, it became more of, like, them trying to be a Forza.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
With VR
and
support.
Forza's already really good at Forza Horizon. I'm actually pretty hyped for Forza Horizon 5. But anyway, that's not a sim, so whatever.
No, iRacing's just expensive because outside of the few cars that you get,
you have to pay for the tracks,
which are like either like $14.95. The cars are like $11.95.
So they're like nickel and dime DLCing you.
I probably have $700 or $800 into iRacing. That's just the downloads, not the monthly subscription that I've had now for like 5 years.
Man, you could buy like one ship in Star Citizen for that.
But or a ship in World of Warships. but
yeah, true.
All of my improvements I've made on the track in real life, I attribute to iRacing. Especially because I have a realistic wheel setup, a realistic pedal, a realistic seat, and he's got very good stuff. And the Thrustmaster stuff is definitely better than like a G27 or something.
Yeah, which I was rocking for a little bit. Yeah.
If you want to use it as a tool to strengthen your driving abilities, it's worth it, in my opinion.
I'd argue that, but...
I told you, remember the game. Excuse me. The simulator cannot work miracles with the talent that's trying, but it has made you a better driver, whether you want to admit it or not.
Probably
it has made you a better.
Remember,
driver.
I did tell you that one time I did. I finally hydroplaned a car like last year.
Yeah,
and I was able to correct and save it at about 70 miles an hour on the highway. And like I legitimately will say, if I wasn't on a sim racing kick at that time, I probably would have spun the car.
Yeah, you might not have known what to do. You might have done what everyone else does is panic brake.
Exactly.
Which is the worst thing to do in hydroplaning.
No, I just kept on the throttle, and then I corrected the slide out. And then I remember thinking to myself after I did it, because I did it automatically because it was second nature at that point. Because remember, you and I were running like Nürburgring hot laps all day, like the whole time. Yeah, and freaking, I corrected and I was like, dude, if I wasn't playing sim racing stuff, like, no,
so it definitely of makes course, a difference. Of course, driver skill, you know, there's an individuality there. But iRacing has Auto Club's Roval in it, right? And
oh, there you go.
So I've got if you guys don't know my car side, go to Instagram. I do a lot of car stuff there. Or my car channel, Jay's Two Cars. I have a 900 horsepower, 760 horsepower at the wheels, ZL1 Elite Camaro that I road race, and I enjoy road racing. The first time I took it to Auto Club, I had never driven a car like that at Auto Club. So I prepared by...
Was that the session me and Mark
were
at? Oh, my God.
So...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I spent 2 weeks prior with a car very similar to my ZL1 that I tuned and spent a lot of time preparing for various parts of that track. I knew the track layout like very, very well. I just never driven a car like that there. So I spent a lot of time on a car, very similar power, very throttle happy, very, you know, it's a rear-wheel drive, wants to oversteer, all that sort of stuff, preparing for getting ahead of the car with your hands, right? So by the time you guys went out on track with me, you saw the car was a hell of a handful, but there was never one time where was there any sort of an issue because I was able to use iRacing as a tool to hone and sharpen skills prior to the real life event. And that's exactly how I use it.
So you were never taken by surprise
your
actual
not
car.
Once.
Exactly, yeah.
Not once.
I like to answer.
Yeah, I mean, there were parts where I remember the playground where I was just like,
well, that's because the Michelin Sport Cup, the Michelin Sport the Sport Cup 2s suck for my car.
And
they're not
the
a terrible
playground.
Tire. They're a terrible tire for my car. And the thing is, after about 6 or 7 laps, I outdrive them and they get too hot and greasy.
Dude, and the freaking playground is like way more rough in real life than it looks or drives in the sim. So.
Yeah, it's very bouncy. The curbs are very harsh.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
To answer that, his question, I'd say just try it for a month. See if you like it with the basic,
stuff.
I mean, you get the Miata for free, so you could try the Miata League races as long as that week isn't stuck on a paid track.
I'm teaching...
a good driver can drive the crap out of Miata.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. No, are you ready for this? I can take that Miata MX-5 in iRacing and do a faster lap than my ZL1 in real life.
That's my favorite car in iRacing right now. So,
yeah, that's why it's the race car driver's like daily car, because, yeah.
So anyway, I've actually been using iRacing to start, you know, teaching my daughter how to drive. And she's doing really well. In fact, there's a video of that up on Instagram. But unfortunately, that is the end of our show for this week, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us at the RTFM show every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific right here on the YouTube channel. Also, too, huge thanks to our sponsor this week, Audible. You guys can find the link down in the description below. Get 30 days for free by using our link or texting RTFM show to 500-500. And don't forget, if you guys want to email us, rtfmshow@jstwocents.com. And that's pretty much anything you guys want to say as we get out of here.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, guys. As always, we will see you in the next one.
This isn't a video.
Next. Yes, it is.